We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
This hour is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today.
The views and opinions of Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris should not be taken too seriously,
especially when they give advice.
Do not take Marshall's analogies literally,
especially when it comes to Russell Dorsey.
The sports thoughts of Rahimi and Harris may change at any time. Remember, it's just sports.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Bye. Rahimi and Harris. 10 to 2 on 670.
So it's the Major League All-Star Game Home Run Derby and their days of action. Does that deserve the same scrutiny and does it need to be reinvented in the same way we've had the conversations about the NFL and the NBA?
I think it does deserve the same amount of scrutiny. I just don't think it needs to be redone, at least not right now.
From the Chicago Cubs, pitcher Matthew Boyd.
All right, Daddy Gang.
Batting seven from the Chicago Cubs in left field, Kyle Tucker. Center field, PCA, Pete Crow Armstrong. Puts it in the air to left field. And a sliding catch by Kyle Tucker now with the Cubs, enjoying a great season.
You can make a good MVP case when you consider the full body of work, and you're going to get a chance to see him right here as he drops one into the right field corner. PCA into second with a double.
NL has rallied in the swing.
With the hat trick, look out, Chop House! National League takes the lead 4-3, and the National League wins it in the first swing off. Schwarber wins it, going 3-for-3.
How can you not be romantic about baseball?
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We are broadcasting live from the Scores Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. This is Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score. Marshall Harris, Layla Rahimi, and you, our producers, are Ray Diaz, Robbie Triano, and Brandon Fryer. You can text us 312-644-6767. You can also catch us on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. Hi and good morning to our Twitch mob, who is already getting the party started, and some good texts as well. How could you not be romantic about baseball is one way to look at it, but I also think it's it just goes to show you, sometimes when you evolve, it can be good. And last night, we had asked for a swing off the day before when it came to the home run derby. Well, we got it in this case when AL and NL were tied at 6, and then a person we know very well and probably miss, Kyle Schwarber, getting it done in a clutch situation yet again, hits the home runs that are needed in order for the National League to take it by a final of 7-6. That guy just, A, knows how to swing a bat when it matters, and B, continues to remind us all that he could still be a Cub.
Won't somebody think of the children? That's what I was thinking when they started the swing off, because you know what? At the end of the day, the people that are going to remember this home run like it was yesterday is anybody that was allowed to stay up last night and watch that swing off from the ages of, let's say, 5 to 20. That was an amazing finish to an All-Star game that I did not see coming. And I got to tell you, Layla, I am as excited about the future of baseball as I have been in a very, very long time, a sport that I thought had fallen to the what I call regional doldrums of, like, yeah, you know your team, but you don't really pay attention to what's going on anywhere else. I feel like last night's game brought us all together as baseball fans, as sports fans. Whether you're a purist or you're new age, At the end of the day, the home run is one of the most exciting things that can happen in sports. And to see what Kyle Schwarber was able to do, especially the way he finished on that third pitch where he drops down to a knee to get it out, I was like, yeah, that's what people dream of in their backyards when they're trying to hit the ball into the neighbor's yard.
That was Adrian Beltre style for me. I was like, oh, not the one knee. Let's go. And then you knew where the ball was going. And I remember when Dave Roberts was announcing the National League team, which, by the way, let's just flash back to that moment, because life is good if you're Dave Roberts, man. You're managing the All-Star team. You're having fun out there. You're mic'd up, whatever. You put your guys, all the Dodgers, early in the lineup, as we talked about, so you can send them home. Like, I don't know about you guys, but I'm taking Shohei Ohtani, you know, in a home run derby if I'm the NL manager. But one issue with that, there were a lot of guys who were already on a jet plane going out of here.
And then we learned that the rules state that you had to be still in the game to be a part of the lineup for the home run derby. The swing off, if you will. I didn't know that at the end of the game. I was like, where are the big guns? I was like, oh, they're probably already gone, because I've actually covered the All-Star game before. I know how that works.
Right.
But I was pleased with what we saw, because the players involved with the swing off, we had already seen them do things in the actual game, whether it was Brent Rooker, whether it was Pete Alonso, and we didn't even have to worry about Pete Alonso.
Right. And that was one who I did want to see. Brent Rooker, who challenged Cal Raleigh, as we mentioned yesterday, in the home run derby, you thought that there was a good chance that he was going to be able to help make this happen again. You knew he was a guy in the clutch who was going to be able to perform. But that was part of it, was that you and I, yeah, we've both covered All-Star games, and it's similar to what happens in spring training, where once you're done, you don't have to stick around. Once your playing assignment is over. So typically we will talk to a guy who, say, starts the game. Like, if you want to interview Tarek Skubal or Paul Skeens, usually they're not in the dugout at that point. They're all right. Maybe those guys, because they're younger, but especially the veterans, once they're out of the game, they leave. And I mean, like, on a plane leave.
Yeah, they got PJs. They know about that first class life.
That's what that triple-digit contract gets you. You get a private jet or two or three. Like, you can get out of there. You go back with your teammates. That happens a lot of the time as well.
And Layla, I was conflicted on this, because, like, oh, wouldn't you want to stick around to see how this thing ended? But also, that game was dragging. There was a point where the game itself was dragging. When it was 6-0, right, the game felt like it was moving slow. But when the 3-run home run gets hit, and then you see them chip away at the 6-run lead and come back and tie it at 6-6, I was like, this is all you could have asked for. Would you have liked a more back-and-forth affair? You could argue that. But to come down to the end of the ninth inning and understanding, because, you know, you're following on Twitter. Remember I said last night, we're all going to watch this game as a family, because it was the only thing going on. And I love the fact that people were slowly coming to the realization that, oh, we aren't doing the Manfred man thing. We aren't going to extra innings. We're just going to have a good old-fashioned swing-off, except for it's not old-fashioned. It's very new.
Right. I think that was part of it for me, too. Yeah, National League gets out to an early lead. We see what happens. They start off 2-0. They build it to 6-0. And then Brent Rooker comes through in the 7th inning. Also, I don't know about you guys, Ray, Robbie, Marshall. Did it feel very royally at some point late in the game? I was like, man, how many Royals are playing in this game right now? I'm like, well, this is a lot of Royals at this point in the All-Star game.
I took note of that.
Why was that so pointed to me? Why did I make note of that? I feel like that was a thing
I know
that
why.
Very much happened, yes?
There was a team in town that was kind of feeling really royally for a couple years back. Just an infusion of, oh, this guy was on the Royals, and this guy who's the manager was part of the Royals. So maybe that's why your antennas went up for that.
I think that might have been it. I'm like, oh, this is more than just Bobby Witt Jr. over here. Like, how many Royals can they get in this game at the same time? I'm like, this is very AL Central right now. I was like, eh.
The fact that they had 4 Royals, and, you know, the Royals aren't exactly killing it in the standings, that's part of it, right?
It just got too royally. Like, for an AL All-Star crew, I felt like that was the case. But you had your attention on it, and that's the point, was there seemed to always be a reason to watch. Whether it was the mic'd up moments that we talked about in our pre-show meeting, we want to do the best of what we think are the mic'd up moments in our next segment, but also the visuals. The tribute they did to Hank Aaron, I thought, from a television standpoint, was incredible.
Yeah, I was wondering how they saw it at the game, because I got to tell you, from a production standpoint in television, we were talking about in the group chat, I was like, oh, this is worthy of the hammer, Hank Aaron. And it didn't dawn on me until that tribute that it was July 15th, a.k.a. 7/15, a.k.a. 7/15.
Right.
And all that ties in. I was like, MLB has done it. They've done quite a job with this thing. There are many times I've criticized baseball for so many different things and many members of baseball, whether it's the commissioner, whether it's the owners, whatever. But for one night, Layla, for one night, I thought baseball got it right. And it was one of the most important nights to be able to say they got it right. The All-Star game was a complete success. If you have problems with it, that's fine. But understand, from an overall standpoint, it's a net positive what happened last night in Atlanta.
You just saw their innovation pay off. A sport that is known for not innovating.
Not being up with the times.
Or doing it too late. You saw them be able to not only use the forward thinking that they had in their advantage and in their favor, but they also were able to marry, I think, a lot of nostalgia elements that weren't necessarily like, oh, back in my day, XYZ, but just respect to the past in a way that gave it context. I felt like there was very much a changing of the guard, too, with how they brought in some of the elements the way they did. Listening to Clayton Kershaw, and we'll get to that in our next segment, that was a part that was very much representing and recognizing the veterans and passing of torches at that point in time. And then I like the way Dave Roberts was able to acknowledge even the past of the individual players when you have the case where, for example, Freddie Freeman, not only before the game, had a really, I think, emotional interview where you could tell when he started to think about his past just with the Braves, and then also what it meant to play there and who he was and how he evolved. You could hear, starting out as somebody who ends up getting married and having a family and now who he is in LA, that was something that meant something to him. So having those moments and being able to have the crowd respect people that maybe the hometown was familiar with, not necessarily all the ticket holders, I felt like that was important as well.
Well, I think it was a big deal because if you'll remember, when Freddie Freeman left Atlanta, Freddie Freeman didn't want to leave Atlanta. And there was a communication breakdown, is what we're going to call it, between him, his agent, the middleman, and the Braves themselves. So much to the point, he didn't know that an offer had been made, and then that's when he didn't get back to them, or his camp didn't get back to the Braves. Like, all right, we'll just go get Matt Olson. And then it was like, Freddie Freeman's not going to be a part of this team? He just helped you win a World... What are we doing?
Yeah, that Matt Olson trade put everybody on notice.
And it worked out for him because he goes to the Dodgers, where more World Series are to be had, and obviously he has cemented his future as a Hall of Famer in Cooperstown. But to be back, I can only imagine the emotions he was going through dealing with that fan base, understanding what he meant in Atlanta. And that's like one aspect of it. But I love the range of emotions here, whether it was how serious the game could be. You talked about the tribute for Hank Aaron. But then there was such like a looseness, a playfulness. We saw that even with Dave Roberts, because he's got to like figure out what's he doing after the game, right?
Well, and when I talk about the changing of the guard and the respect to the past, seeing Joe Torre in the dugout, in uniform, no less, and then he goes out to the mound, and I'm thinking to myself, when was the last time you saw Joe Torre in a meeting on the mound? Like, this is a moment. And for those of us who weren't maybe old enough at the time to appreciate it, when we were younger as the sports fans we are today, I thought that that was a meaningful moment, too, because you go back to those memories, but they're not trying to force it. It's respecting the people who helped be a part of the game. And I think it was really cool because he still got it. You know, he goes right out to the mound. Like, Joe Torre's a lot older, as you can tell when you're watching him on TV, but you go back to those moments because he's helping put you there. This is Raheemy and Harris on 670 The Score, talking about last night's All-Star game and how much fun it was to watch. So let's go to the newer moment, I think, and listen to how Dave Roberts casually was like, oh yeah, okay, home run derby. He's like, well, my guys are out, so let's figure this out real time. And having worked with Dave Roberts, I can tell you that this is pretty accurate to the character.
Dave, who's the National League have in store?
Well, Kyle Stowers just found out he's in this contest, so he's going to lead off. Then we're going to go Schwarbs in the two. and the polar bear will finish in the three hole.
Okay.
Go nicknames with it. That's how loose it was when he starts talking about Kyle Stowers. Yeah, I just told him he's going to be a part of this. And then he went nickname, Schwarbs, polar bear.
There was just a lot of showmanship that happened in this game. And that's what it should be. I've harped on baseball for so long that they don't promote the personalities of their game, or at least let you see an accurate picture of them. And to see that in the game real time, you know, because we talk so much about the grind, and really the game is your work every day, right? So for me, it's, you don't get like practice for football, for example, is still very much daily part of it. Like, but practices don't necessarily count the same way a game does when it comes to the severity of how you're focused. But in this case, when the game doesn't matter, you're able to watch it and enjoy it, and the guys can be themselves, and you see that authentic environment of their daily life, which I thought was really cool.
It's so funny, Layla, because we talk about baseball kind of catching up and looking like they're up to speed on things. So the biggest thing about last night that I'm going to take away from this is that they took the All-Star game and did things with it in real time that we saw NFL do with NFL films back in the 1960s.
Yes.
here we are 60 plus years later, and now they're miking people up and you're getting the personalities, and this is how the NFL grew to be America's game and stole the spotlight away from America's, and I don't mean this in the literal sense, but it just sounds that way, pastime.
Right. And I think about, like, famously, for example, the clip of Hank Stram talking on the sideline where he goes, the NFL is going to be not for long if you keep this up. And just having that authenticity in those moments in a game where you're hearing this. It sticks with the kids, you know, that's for sure. This segment is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. Then they got to the swing off, by the way, and I think that is where you saw Kyle Schwarber really shine. And what was interesting was, Marshall, like you said, we're all watching this at the same time. We're all on Twitter, I think, at the same time. And the acknowledgement of how many people who know ball, who knew that it didn't matter that Kyle Schwarber was 0 for 2 in the game, that when it came to clutch moments, he was going to deliver. And I remember even thinking in this All-Star game, I'm like, here it is. Dave Dombrowski wants Kyle Tucker not just for his regular season hits, but for his playoff clutch. I'm like, let's see if it works out here. Boom, boom, one knee, boom, ball game.
Kyle Schwarber was fantastic. He was unbelievable. He was absolutely the MVP. And I always wonder, who's going to be the MVP? He was like, I'm the MVP. Watch this. And that's how he left it. And then hearing him after the game, you can tell he appreciated the moment.
Well, you made some history. What was it like to participate in that?
It was interesting. Exciting, fun. There's a lot of guys who deserve this, but I'm happy that it's going home with us to Philly.
You know, take me through when your thought process. Was it once you got one, do you just get red hot like a three-point shooter? What was your thought process going in, knowing you only had three swings?
Oh, man. Just trying to not hit a home run, I guess. Just trying to stay short, because if I would have tried to hit a home run, I would probably hit my guys over there. But just happy that it worked out for us and the National League's going home with the win.
You got a great reception, though. Guys were jumping on you. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was awesome. The guys were really into it, and they were yelling, screaming, cheering me on every swing, and then that last one goes over, they were all pumped. It was a lot of fun.
It was fun to watch, I got to tell you. Other than that, what was your favorite moment of the last couple days?
I mean, I think just being here and just having conversations with a lot of guys. You got a lot of guys who have been doing it for a long time, doing it great for a long time, and then you got a lot of young guys coming up who are going to be special in this game for a long time. So having those conversations and having fun with them and just seeing these guys go out here and compete.
Was it the weirdest thing ever to get like an ovation in Atlanta? Does it happen for a Philly too often?
No, but you know what? It was exciting. It was fun. So thank you guys. Appreciate it.
Yeah, really cool. Here we go. What a performance. The home run winner here. Kyle Schwarber, the Phillies in the National League, gets the W. Congrats, Kyle.
KB is so smooth. Kevin Burkhardt. He's always just meeting that moment so well. But it was funny, because I feel like for all the talk we do about, if you watch the game, you know, if you pay attention, you know, the subtleties and the nuance of baseball and how that can be used in a negative way. I feel like last night was an incredible positive, because you're asking yourself, if you just see it on paper, right, the blind resume, you're going, Kyle Schwarber was 0 for 2, and he's the MVP of the game. Yeah, because if you watched, you knew what happened.
The eye test never fails, Shun. Let me tell you something. He gave us all something to see at the end of that game. I just love the way the game ended and the fact that people were glued to their TVs. And I'm sure the people who stayed till the end at the All-Star game were very much not disappointed they left. I can't imagine leaving that game early, though, just because the nature of the All-Star game and seeing all the different players rotate in. But, you know, it was an amazing night. For me, the kid, the baseball was my first love. That fulfilled. And, you know, for me to stay up that late, Layla, it's got to be something.
Yeah, I mean, we were all up past 11. You know, that game, as we talked about, went long, and I'm okay with it because it actually felt like a celebration of the sport on the biggest stage when all attention was on it, and it delivered. And bravo to baseball for innovating in a way that kept us all watching. See there? Look what happens when you change it up a little bit. We all enjoy it. Not everybody enjoys everything, but a lot of people liked it. Just saying. Maybe you want to do a little bit more of that. Let's get to some of the sights and the sounds from the game last night. Some incredible moments mic'd up. One of the Cubs was involved in that as well. And like I said, I think we may have watched a moment of the changing of the guard in a way that I think we can really commemorate. That's next on Raheemy and Harris on 670 The Score.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall! Did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Score.
Layla Raheemy, Marshall Harris, Raheemy and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Playing center field in Wrigley is one thing, but where's your favorite place to play center field? I would think Colorado, with all that space and all the speed you've got.
I mean, the ball actually finds a way to just, like, kind of hang up and balloon. So, yeah, I do like it.
That was Pete Crow Armstrong talking on the Major League Baseball All-Star Game last night on Fox. This is Raheemy and Harris on 670 The Score.
But we cut him short there because he definitely said his favorite place to play is Dodger Stadium.
Yeah, he did say that. Do we have the rest of that?
I'm definitely positive on that.
I'm not surprised, though. That's his hometown ballpark. Yeah, that makes sense.
I know some people were maybe getting a touch sensitive about that. It's like, Dodger Stadium, he wants to go play for the Dodgers. No, he's, trust me, when I tell you he's under control by the Cubs, they got years to deal with Pete Crow Armstrong and pay that man his money and everything else. He's not going to become a Dodger, at least not in the next 8 years.
Well, notwithstanding LA, some event.
Playing at Dodger Stadium has been my favorite place to play defense.
How much of that is it special because you grew up going to games there?
Well, that's exactly it, but we've played some really fun games there, so I've gotten to make an impact on that side of the ball, and that's always special to me. I love doing that.
Yeah, so that answer makes complete sense. And if you hold that against Pete Crow Armstrong, man, you need to get a life. You need better things to do. You're in an area of in a space of your head in which you're not thinking about things contextually at all.
I don't think we want to start that list, especially after that last part you just said.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's every online reply I get these days. So let's go back to part of this being that's Pete Crow Armstrong mic'd up. He was on the mic during the game, and that's something where we've heard it in regular season games. Not only has it not turned out well at times from an entertainment standpoint, but there have been times on Sunday Night Baseball where you're wondering if it affected the game, where your focus isn't exactly where you need it to be, and a play goes past you if you're a fielder, and you see something happen that you don't want to occur. You know, did a base hit just occur because of this, or was there an error because you're mic'd up? We've had a lot of questions about that over time. But in an All-Star game setting, when the game doesn't count, as we said, but you still get the glimpse into the daily life of a baseball player, at least how they conduct their business, surrounded by the best in the game, this seemed like something that would make sense.
I love this in an exhibition format, and I've been one of those, I don't know about this mic'ing people up while they're in the field trying to actually do their job, because it has seemed clunky, awkward, all of the negative things that you think of when you talk about your guy on your team being distracted, and if he commits an error, everybody's going to be mad. But it felt so much more loose and fun and easygoing, and the players from Tarek Skubal, who's out here giving up runs, sounded like he was having a good time talking about pitching while pitching.
But for some reason, for me, that was the one that felt a little difficult, you know, like, and I think I'm comparing it in retrospect to what we heard from Clayton Kershaw. So that to me was when I talk about the changing of the guard and at least respecting what we've seen the previous era of the last 15 years in baseball. I feel like Clayton Kershaw symbolizes that for a lot of reasons. Is it more top of mind because he got 3,000 strikeouts? Absolutely. But that moment in and of itself, when you know that you're watching the practical end of somebody's career, especially those last All-Star games, for example, I think it does mean a little bit more to fans, and those moments are some of your lasting ones. So let's listen to what we found out was Clayton Kershaw's, it was his entire outing on the mound last night. He faced two batters. The whole thing was only 2 minutes and 28 seconds. Is that right, guys? Okay. So let's listen to the entire outing for Clayton Kershaw last night while he was on the mound talking to the Fox broadcast team.
And we're actually going to get to talk baseball with Clayton. I can't believe you're doing this, Clayton.
I can't either. I'm going to try to throw some cheese real quick. Hold on.
Cal Raleigh. Hooks it in the air to left field. And a sliding catch by Kyle Tucker.
That was sick.
Easy.
That was sick.
Yeah. Kyle Tucker now with the Cubs, enjoying a great season and enjoying a great catch.
This might be my last batter, guys.
That was sweet.
Yeah, how hard was that one? 91?
It was an out.
It was an out. All right, going cheese again.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go. I mean, you and Paul Skeens are pretty much the same guy.
Right down the middle. I'm so glad he didn't swing. Okay, I'm going curveball here.
Okay.
Oh, that was short.
What now? Double up.
All right, now I think I probably got to go slider. Let's think what Will thinks, but I think I got to go slider here. No, no, he wants curveball again. All right, fine.
Oh, got it. Uncle Charlie.
Okay. What do you want, Smoltzy? What do you want?
Cutter in, slider in.
I don't throw a cutter.
He doesn't slider in. Slider. Say cutter.
Son of him.
Gonna make him mad.
That was short.
How about this splitty? Break out the splitty.
All right, what's the count? 2-2? Yeah, this is so weird talking to you guys.
It's kind of weird for us, too.
Three!
Hey, sit him down.
I think that might be it.
That's it. And Clayton, what a year, buddy. What a career. And what a moment. Soak it in.
Thanks, brother. God bless. All right. Thanks. Thanks, dude. Nice job, boy. Thanks, guys. That was fun. That was fun. Thank you. Thanks, dude. Thanks, you, brother. That was fun.
All right. That's yours.
You got to keep it?
That's yours. You keep it.
All right.
That's yours. Well done, Chris.
Thanks, guys. All right.
One of the greatest that ever lived right there, Clayton Kershaw.
Hey, that was fun, guys. Thanks for talking.
You're the best, 22.
To be able to multitask like that, I thought that that was incredible theater.
And it's not like he came in at the end of the game and was facing like lesser guys. This is the second inning. This is Cal Raleigh. We saw what he did the night before. And Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
Yeah, Vladimir.
And he got him out.
He said,
he got a strikeout on Vladdy.
He said, throw him a cutter. That ball goes in the dirt about 4 feet ahead of home plate.
Clayton Kershaw, an 11-time All-Star. I think my favorite part of that was when John Smoltz was telling him what to throw. I was like, I don't throw that. You should know that's not in my arsenal.
Oh, they're just messing with each other at that point.
Yeah.
And you heard him say son of a because he was about to catch himself swearing on a microphone. Pete Crow Armstrong was not so lucky. I think we all heard that a time or two as he and Kyle Tucker really collided in the outfield.
But as you know, I haven't been a fan of miking people up, but And I also wasn't a fan of the idea that you're going to just announce Clayton Kershaw as an all-star when he hasn't even announced he's retiring at the end of the year. That hasn't happened. But after seeing it and after watching and listening to it, yeah, that was the right move by Major League Baseball, and he did a phenomenal job, and he was there. It was just him out there for two outs and vibes, two batters and vibes.
Well, and Dave knew it. Like, that was a big part of it, was you were seeing Dave Roberts and Aaron Boone. Boone is just not innately as much that way as we know. You've watched enough Yankees games, or, again, Sunday Night Baseball, you get that impression. But Dave runs out there, has fun with it, and you see them share that moment. There's also something about Clayton Kershaw's delivery that I think is so incredibly difficult, and that he's able to do it like that every single time while he's talking to the announcers and joking and facing the best in the game. That's where it just, it's hard to process when you're watching it real time, knowing and hearing how hard it actually is. Let's listen to Pete Crow Armstrong, because he did have great moments when he was mic'd up. I guess we'll start with the near collision with Kyle Tucker. As long as, are we FCC safe? Are we safe? Did we bleep it out? Okay, let's make sure.
You're double checking that.
We are making sure. So let's start with him talking about what advice he'd give to kids who want to be like Pete.
I get a lot of kids that tell me they want to be like PCA. For the kids that want to be like you, what would you tell them?
I hope you be exactly how you are supposed to be. I think I've dealt with, trying to emulate other people and focusing a little bit less on myself and what makes me great and unique. And I think that is so important for kids that play this game or don't. Just understand that, there's so much to offer and everybody's so nice and unique in their own individual way.
Aw.
Given some inspiration, sounding like an old man. That man is not old. That is a young man in Pete Crow Armstrong giving some sage advice there.
That wholesome moment is brought to you by Pete Crow Armstrong. Okay, we're good on the other one. Let's listen to the chaos in the outfield, but also some fun with Pete Crow Armstrong.
Jacob Wilson to the plate, and he goes after the first pitch, flies it into left center.
You're right there.
Come on, doesn't the center fielder get to take charge?
My lord, I can't hear anything outside. I can't hear you. I peeked though. I peeked well.
I was calling for it. I was like, I don't know.
I peeked. I had a feeling.
You can tell Kyle it's our fault. Right? We're in your ear while you're trying to communicate.
Yeah, I'll let him know when I go back inside. Kyle's special. I don't think his defense gets talked about enough. So,
Pete Crow Armstrong,
straight back into it.
Pete Crow Armstrong, just listening to him talk about his teammate Kyle Tucker, called him one of his friends, best friends,
best buddies.
But also, if people don't understand what happened there on that play, when they mic you up, you don't just get one earpiece; you get both earpieces in, so you can clearly hear what they're saying to you from the booth. So you really can't hear what's going on around you. So therefore, if Kyle Tucker, who is playing left field, not the traditional right field we've seen him play with the Cubs, when he's going over towards left field, Pete can't hear whether or not Kyle has it or not. So he's just yelling and hoping, and luckily they didn't cause serious injury to each other.
He also looked very he made things look casual and easy out there in left field. Kyle Tucker did.
Kyle Tucker's a plus fielder.
It's an all-star game, and I know. But I do kind of examine that even in those scenarios when you're trying to see, do people need to be switched around every now and then? What's going to happen there? But I don't think that's in Craig Counsell's repartee.
And then the sliding catch on Kyle Rowley was really, really nice.
That's, yes, exactly. So it was enjoyable to hear Pete Crow Armstrong. And a lot of people chiming in about the automatic ball strike system, automated.
Loved it.
It was not an issue. We're not talking about it because it was that simple.
7 seconds or less. Let's go.
And there were fun moments because you're waiting to see, just like when you're watching tennis, what the ruling is and how many of the pitches were catching part of the strike zone. And there were a lot of fun moments when it came to that as well. Like, that was a big part of it. Like Edwin Diaz, you saw him smile there. Like there were a lot of moments where you're saying to yourself, oh, see, everybody's cool. And I dare I say it, did the umpires have some stress relief there? Because you don't have to be all rough and tough in those moments. You just stand on business because you're just helping facilitate the right decisions that are being made.
Lots of great texts coming in. 815, I'm a 40-year-old man taking advice from PCA. I get it.
Aren't
I understand
all?
It. And then 785, making a good point. ESPN miking guys up just does not do as good a job as Fox did. Fox is so personable.
I really think it had more to do with the fact that this was a game that didn't count. Maybe. When you're trying to focus in a game that matters, especially if it's the last game of a series, for example, which is traditionally what happens on Sunday night, then you're usually focused on the game much more so than the announcers. So I think that's what it had to do with. This is an environment that promotes fun. During a game when it counts, I'm still a little stressed out. We have more to come here on Raheemi and Harris on the Score, because there was a moment I found myself very on notice about, and it involves Shane Smith. And when you consider the trade market right now, what were you thinking when it happened? That's last night's All-Star Game. Marshall Harris, Layla Raheemi, and you next on the Score.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall! Did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
You're listening to Raheemi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Suarez looking.
Whoa!
Oh boy. No.
You're going to first.
Man. Hey, Eugenio Suarez, one of the top home run hitters in the league and one of the key trade deadline pieces, potentially.
That was a stressful moment in the All-Star game. That was courtesy of the Fox broadcast. This is Raheemi and Harris on the Score. And first there was the, is Shane Smith going to be the White Sox All-Star? Could it be the dark horse candidate, Adrian Hauser, who we've also used in our stalking segment because we think he should get traded to somebody, potentially the Cubs? Shane Smith ends up being an All-Star. Nice moment, some of the red carpet. Ends up getting in the game, which isn't always the case for teams who have players who are simply representatives, no disrespect to his season. But then we see what happens once he gets into the All-Star game and Eugenio Suarez in the bottom of the eighth inning is at bat and gets plunked right in his hand. And it looked like in his pinky. And the first thing we thought on the group thread when we were all texting each other, Mark Grody was also in. Grody and I are immediately going to the scary place. We're like, oh no, it's a broken pinky. He can't be traded now. It was not broken.
X-rays negative.
Correct. But having that moment where you're watching going, oh no, after all of the baseball joy that we are experiencing, and that was even before the swing off, and then realizing this is late in the game, doesn't count. Yes, the American League was still down, so not necessarily did you need Suarez at bat for the National League. He's there, though, because that's what happens in the All-Star game. And if something worse had happened in those moments, how scary would it have been? Like, I don't know what went through your mind as I'm watching this, but I'm thinking to myself, oh, I really hope this doesn't affect the trade market.
I had a very specific thought. I was like, did Shane Smith just mess up the Cubs' pursuit of Eugenio Suarez? It was very targeted to one team and one team only, because obviously we know what's going on or not going on at third base over on the north side for the Cubs, and that's a guy that they could target because he's a clear rental. And I was like, if he has a broken bone, that's one less third baseman that's available to be purchased.
Yeah, those were stressful moments, I think, at the time. So we see the trainer come out, checks on him. Suarez ends up staying in the game. But just a moment where you're asking yourself, could this be something that has not only an effect, but a domino effect, given that he might be somebody we see get traded in the coming days? And then that's when we also had the mound visit moment where Joe Torre is on the mound with Shane Smith, of all people. I'm going, wait a second. Joe Torre's running out to the mound right now. What a moment this is to watch. Cooler heads prevailing, so to speak, at least when it came to the fact that your anxiety may be quelled knowing that he ended up being okay. But that's the biggest fear you have watching one of these All-Star games.
Shane Smith gets James Wood to ground out, ends up throwing just 10 pitches. So representing the White Sox well in the fact that he got through it. He recorded an out in an All-Star game. No one can ever take that away from him, whether or not he makes a return to the Midsummer Classic or not. Pretty good for a Rule 5 draft kid.
And because everybody was watching the game at the same time, you got a lot of comments on social media. And the detectives were out. There was a side-by-side video post of Smith hitting Suarez on June 23rd. I don't necessarily know that it's... I don't think it was on purpose. I think just young pitchers sometimes have trouble with their control. At least that's what I think. I don't know. You guys watch the video, see if you think it's anything more serious. But that's how I felt about
it. Are we
it.
Saying there's beef between Eugenio Suarez and Shane Smith?
People are trying to... Multiple people are like, oh, does he not like Suarez? And I'm like, I think it's more like he is a young pitcher and he was the White Sox All-Star and that can happen.
Shane Smith definitely did not hit him on purpose. How about that?
But see, like 708, he also hit him on the other hand 3 weeks ago, LOL. See, this is, you go to those moments in these situations.
That's a coincidence. I just think what the unfortunate thing about it is, because that happened to the first batter that he faced, it just kept the conversation going about why is Shane Smith here? And not just from a why is Shane Smith here because he doesn't have very good numbers overall compared to the other All-Stars not named Clayton Kershaw. But also, why do the White Sox get a representative? Should we re-examine how we do this? And also, shouldn't Adrian Hauser maybe have been the selection?
So you went to all the places in that moment.
The first thought I had was, oh, the Cubs might have another third baseman not available to them at the trade deadline. That was number one. And then I was like, man, Shane Smith, this is tough for him. And now I'm even more locked in to see he better not give up like a two-run jack to James Wood, which is within the realm of possibility, by the way.
Was absolutely.
And I was also happy that Joe Torre came and got him out of there. Like, get him out. He got an out. Get him out.
Yeah, it ended up being a lighthearted moment. I didn't go to all those places. I just thought, oh, it's always something that can happen in a game. Something happened. It just wasn't the worst case scenario. And that's a good thing. I think we would be having all those conversations. As for whether or not teams need to all have a representative at the All-Star game, I still think it's fine.
Oh, I do too. I do too. I just had that thought that this is where the public narrative may go because of what I just saw.
Okay. So I was going to say that like it's fine, but at the same time, I think Shane Smith also is an All-Star for the same reasons we said he was going to be in the beginning of the discussion is 6 weeks ago. You know, at that point, you're still thinking, oh, yeah, he's probably the White Sox All-Star. And I feel like that's what happened. Also, credit to our texters for pointing out the Jacob Mizorowski moments. All you can do when you've been criticized for the last week or so about having to play in the All-Star game is go out there and do your job. Not only did he hit you with the 102, he then followed up with the slider at 98. Show him what you got. And that's exactly what he did.
I also like how he was embraced not only by his teammates, but by the manager, Dave Roberts. They're like, yeah, he's here. I'm going to put him in the game. I'm all about growing the game. This helps to grow the game. And he said, the direct quote was, I think for me, kind of my North Star is the All-Star game should be the game's best players. It's about the fans and what the fans want to see. And he recognized the fans wanted to see Jacob Mizorowski. And while I still argue that other players were more deserving from a merit standpoint, there are a few people for baseball fans, diehards, that didn't want to see Jacob Mizorowski.
Well, and
two things can be true.
Aaron Boone and Dave Roberts are two very notable former players, as we know, you know, recent when you consider their respective managerial careers, and I wonder how much that plays into it as well. The showmanship was definitely on display in that way, too. Just the selection of who he wanted and when and how. And I guess that's why he was able to also call for Pete Alonso, who had already been subbed out at that point in the home run swing-off.
Throw the rules out the window. I was just told last night.
I guess it was like who's left, not necessarily who's still in the lineup. It was like who's physically still here.
Well, that you need guys to actually still be there in order to participate. That is true. And we know that Otani and Judge and all the mainstays, the big boys were already on their PJs back to where, not even back to, maybe going to wherever they were truly spending their break.
The PJ crowd, and we don't mean Pearl Jam, we mean the private jet crowd. Must be nice. Good life for sure.
I got to tell people real quick, caller six to the score contest line. You can listen all week to win a pair of tickets by being caller six to see Toto with special guests Christopher Cross and Men at Work on Saturday, August 9th at Credit Union One Amphitheater in Tinley Park. Tickets are now available at LiveNation.com, and we'll be giving away a couple of tickets later on in the show.
That was a very aggressive Yacht Rock read. I think you're supposed to like
let it.
You've got to be like monotone and like, you know, TV influencer or YouTube influencer voice and be like, now is your chance to see Toto.
This ain't ASMR. What can I say?
Yeah, I think it still actually is. It's just a different kind.
Oh, okay.
I think. We're a different vibe.
My bad.
We're the sports talk ASMR.
I apologize.
We even played the natural sound from the game earlier. See there?
Sometimes I just let it wash over me.
There it is. We have Mike Florio coming up next, the creator and editor-in-chief of Pro Football Talk, talking about a lot of news, especially a story that he's been following up on, because I feel like it's growing by the day. You're listening to Raheem and Harris on 670 The Score, the Odyssey and iHeartRadio apps.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall! Did he catch it?
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.